evening, afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whiskey and coke. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Podskaland.
I have Casey here as my guest this week. Casey is, I was going to say related, but you're not like related. But you have ties and connections to Aaron, who was on the podcast recently, and Alex, who was on the podcast recently, having worked with both of them you were a resident assistant. I was going to say advisor, same thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Community advisor.
Yeah. Casey, welcome into the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Very welcome.
I just hit record like immediately because Casey said, come on, let's just go already. I'm excited. So I was like, I'm just going to hit record.
And let's go. I'm excited. Yeah.
Jump right into it. Casey, we were talking a little bit and I don't know why I've been having people like you on my podcast who are like, yeah, I'll come on the podcast.
Listen.
People like you, and by that I mean people who are like, yeah, I'll come on the podcast. I'm really excited. That'd be fun. And then we get to getting ready to record. I'm like, all right, what is it that you want to chit-chat about? And you're like, I have no idea. I have a few ideas. Maybe I don't. I don't know.
Just throw me under the bus right at the beginning of your podcast there.
Well, Alex was the same way. Aaron took a minute to kind of figure out what we were going to talk about. So you're not the only person.
Well, I guess I had an idea, but I just wanted to see how you would take that, I guess. I don't know.
That's really not up to me. You are the guest. This podcast.
Aren't you the host, though?
Yeah, but I don't know. I would rather have a guest than not have a guest. So to me, the guest is who makes the podcast overall. I just kind of drive it forward and do the editing and post it.
Okay.
You're the star of the show, Casey. Though it is,
I'm a star, okay.
Keep in mind, though, it's called Trent Speaks, not
Trent Speaks. Yeah, you're right. So,
Casey, you had mentioned when Siri is picking up.
I missed that.
Thank you, Siri.
Oh my gosh, Trent.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know why she picked it up. It's because I said Casey. Hopefully,
Siri's name again. Is Casey.
Or she thinks that her name is Casey.
Okay.
Who knows? You were going to talk about, I guess. So, and we had talked about this before. We've had some very like lengthy, good conversations. I mean, I know that you and I have had this conversation before, but obviously, these people don't know anything about that.
I can also show them things too. That's part of the conversation, is me just showing you a bunch of things like visual aids, but
which is hard to do in an audio podcast. You started in engineering as a degree, and then you transitioned. Talk to me about why engineering, and then what is it you transitioned to, and why?
All right. Well, as a wee lad, I wanted to make money, so that's why I went to engineering. I was usually pretty good at, like, math and science and stuff like that in high school, and usually people don't try in high school, but I did, so I felt good about myself because I was doing better than other people. I took these Project Lead the Way classes. They're, like, college-level, like, engineering classes, and they, like, help you get ready for like STEM related fields and stuff like that. And so I really thought like that's where I was going to go in life, was just like math and science and stuff like that. So, you know, and there's like different fields that we could, you know, explore. So like civil engineering and mechanical engineering and like all these different aspects. And so I went into mechanical engineering because I like cars, you know, and pretty weak-minded of me, I guess. I don't know. Sorry to anyone who's done that. But yeah, I really just went into it because I thought I was going to be good at it. And in reality, I was, you know, in a lower middle class family. So I wanted to make more money than what my parents made. You know, I wanted to be able to, you know, provide better for my future family and stuff like that. So just, you know, pretty common thoughts a lot of people have, a lot of reasons why people go to college. But yeah, I started going to classes and engineering classes, and they were super boring. And, you know, I mean, what can you expect? I know some people find school boring. Some people really like it. I really like school. But anyway, I got an internship at a membrane, like a dairy farm membrane, like firm. So like what they do is they design membrane systems, so like the tubings and like motors and stuff like that at dairy farms that like push the milk around, you know? So I was doing that for a while, and I was like, man, this is really boring. I wasn't enjoying myself. I would like watch the clock, like the entire shift, and be like, when am I going to be done? And like, maybe it was the internship that I was at, they didn't seem to like really teach me much, or like, they just like sat me down at a computer and were like, okay, just look at these files or whatever. And they didn't really, I guess, welcome me too much into their, way of life, I guess. So really I felt like there's like no camaraderie, and I was just bored. I just couldn't wait to get out of there. So I finished that, and I was like, I don't know if I'd actually go to school for this. Like, if I'm watching the clock all day and wanting to get out of there, should I really be spending all this money to be doing this just to make a good amount of money? And to me, that wasn't worth it, I guess, in the end. So my idea of wanting to go to college just to make, you know, a lot of money wasn't holding true to what I really wanted, I guess, deep down.
Well, and so, you said, you know, some people love school and some people don't. Do you think, and maybe you can talk about this as you kind of talk about the transition, because it sounds like you weren't loving school at first. Do you think that's the case, is you have to be invested and be passionate about what it is that you're actually studying to enjoy loving school?
Well, I mean, it just depends on who you are, really. I remember really loving school in high school, too. But in college, it was, you know, college is different than high school. So, you know, and I'm a first generation student, so I didn't really know what to expect. And like, yeah, I just wasn't. I was only thinking about like the paycheck and like what I would get out of it in the end, I guess. I wasn't thinking about like my time at school. And I have a friend who's still going to school for engineering, and he doesn't like school, but he really does enjoy engineering. Like, he's had several internships and he loves, you know, doing that. He's just not, you know, happy in the classroom setting, you know. And I guess it depends on what field you're into anyway, because like the classroom setting can look very different depending on what your career choice is.
How hands-on is it, basically?
Yeah. Sorry, now I don't know where I'm going.
No, you're fine. So you decided engineering wasn't for you, and then you decided to do what?
Well, yeah, then I didn't really know. I was like looking around. I was like, well, I still want to go to school, and, you know, and I'm from Stevens Point, and the job market isn't the best for, you know, a lot of different things. You know, so my dad was a truck driver. My mom now works at Century. She's a mail clerk. So I was just like, well, what do I really want to do with my life? In high school, I designed like t-shirts and stuff like that for like adventure clubs. And I remember when I did that, like, it was fun designing, but like getting the people's feedback and like how they really enjoyed like what I did, it like, they like, it like made them happy. And that's when I really felt like I was doing something that I enjoyed, was that like people were giving me this feedback that like, yeah, they really liked it. And, you know, and it's not that it was just my design. It was because, you know, people really did enjoy like the stuff that I made. So I was like, well, where can I take this? So I guess there is a graphic design, but still I'm thinking about money, and usually graphic designers don't make a lot of money. But if you're a really good designer, though, you'll make a lot of money. I don't want to talk about money, though. So, so I was like, well, what else can I do? So I looked at there's human technology interaction was a program at University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, and that was kind of like a mix between programming and graphic design. And they did user interface and user experience. And I started getting into that, and I didn't really enjoy coding. And I was like, man, I'm just not feeling what I used to feel with, designing things. So I did ultimately go to graphic design. And I love it. I spend every waking hour and night designing things. And I find the competition very healthy. It's basically just finding what I like doing and just doing it. Like, isn't that sort of what everyone does, I guess?
You would hope so. I don't think that's the way it always works out, but I think that's always the end result that you want.
Yeah.
Is that what you enjoy most about the graphic design piece, is really just being able to do your own thing and design whatever it is that you want to design?
Well, not necessarily, because there's always, being a graphic designer, you have to design for a firm or a company, which is, and I'm discovering this right now, is maybe isn't what I want to do. I thought about art directing and stuff like that, so taking lead on projects, but I really do enjoy experimenting with design, kind of making people feel uncomfortable, or making them feel stronger emotions. Just oh yeah, that's a cool logo. That's not my deal. I want you to actually think and actually feel, not subliminally. You have a brain, use it, right?
Exactly.
So I've been looking a lot into experiential, experimental design. I've explored a lot of different mediums. Currently I'm doing a lot of filmmaking. So in that I've done a lot of animations and filmmaking about my sort of influences on my life, my childhood and my stuff like that. It's really kind of edgy. It's kind of fun. I submitted a piece to a couple of film festivals, and I just had one in the CinePoint UWSP Film Festival. So yeah, just the experimental and the weird and making people feel things type of stuff.
What would you say is the most challenging piece to graphic design, both for you and then something that people just wouldn't ever think about with graphic design, or maybe it's one and the same?
A lot of, I don't know. There's a challenge in all of it. I guess, usually what's challenging is working with the client and, understanding what they want. And then, creating that using your, abilities, and then giving them what they want. Ultimately you won't create exactly what they want, but you'll meet in the middle with them, and you'll usually create, good designs that, will intrigue people and get them to be interested in whatever you're trying to promote or what kind of message you're trying to send. Recently, typography has been a bit of a challenge for me, just because I used to think it was kind of boring. But
what is typography? Everything's
boring to me. What?
What is typography?
So typography is the art of setting type. A lot of people don't know this. So setting type in a book, that's an art form, picking the font and everything and how far it's spaced apart. And
really?
So that's what I've been working on recently. And so I did this whole series, a poster and a sticker and animation designs for the typeface Garamond, which is a very old typeface from the 1450s. and it's used in the Harry Potter novels. It's used as the, you know, the page print for the Harry Potter novel. Oh, wow. And it's often a, you know, favored font by Dr. Seuss. A lot of his books are typeset in Garamond. It's really interesting because Garamond is like the typeface that kind of revolutionized like how things are printed. So like usually, you know, when things started, books became a thing, like way back when, it'd be hand scribed by, you know, monks and stuff like that in black letter, which is just like a very fancy, you know, handwriting. And when the printing press came out, they tried to replicate the handwriting of these, you know, scholars for these books, but often it wouldn't look good and it was hard to read. And the like ink, it used a lot of ink and the ink would bleed. So, you know, that's not very good for legibility. So that was called black letter type. So this guy, last name Garamond, came up with there's type designers and he's like a type designer and he came up with this typeface that would be used for books. So it'd be easier to read, it would use less ink and it wouldn't bleed as much. And it's a very pretty typeface if you like look at it up close, because you can actually see like hand, like you can see where like he etched like the lines for the letters, like it's curvy, it's not straight like a computer did it. It's like humanistic in a way. But the idea was try to get away from the humanistic type with the font. So it's kind of interesting.
I never knew about that. I never even knew like that was a form of art in a way.
Yeah, I mean, like,
what are the other forms of art?
What are the other forms of art?
Well, I guess like that people wouldn't think of or that people don't know about in terms of graphic design.
I don't know. Like, well, along with typography, there's more than just, you know, setting type on a page. It's really how people interact with it and how they see it and stuff like that. So like, you know, typography can be, you know, handwritten and stuff like that. So like in title design for movies, typography is often taken into consideration because it'll convey different emotions and how, you know, movies, you know, can be perceived right away. So like that's a type of design that's pretty interesting, is designing how, you know, a movie begins is with these, you know, credits and how they interact with the elements of the movie. So like, is it just a black screen and like white letters? Like that may be boring, that may be simple, but like sometimes simple design is good. So maybe like that's what you want for your movie. Other times it's text like interacting with characters and stuff like that in settings in the movie, and like Zombieland with like the letters flying around and stuff like that. So you know, that's also type design. So
a lot of thought goes into it.
Yeah. So it sets the mood kind of for a piece almost. Subliminally, like oftentimes typography is the art that you don't want recognition for. You don't want people to see it. Like it's, if you do, you're a good type, you know, typographer. If you can, you know, put something on a page and like people don't think about it. I don't know. Like, or you can also be a good typographer and like that's the main subject is the type. Like it's very, you know, deep, and you have to think about like what kind of messages you want to convey through like how the type looks.
So what sort of projects have you worked on that you're most proud of or that you feel most accomplished about?
So I usually feel pretty accomplished with a lot of the things that I do. I usually try to put my best effort forth when I try to design something or create something, just because like I really enjoy doing it. And I had this, you know, this thought pop into my head while I was working late at night or early in the morning. I was like, man, I really just love what I'm doing. Like I was looking at the screen in like Adobe Premiere and I was like, man, I'm very lucky. I'm not a lot of people get to do this. So the projects that I'm most proud of are usually the ones that get recognized by people. So I made some posters. They're like a conversation. The project was like a conversation type piece, and it was supposed to bring about like a societal like problem and just like illustrate it. So mine was like kind of STEM field versus art field, and like kind of like how this, you know, society holds like all these STEM majors and like people who are in STEM like higher and like have this, you know, mentality that, you know, they're, I don't know, almost better than the artists. People taking a lot of art for granted, and you know, and so I made these poster designs. They're kind of like Russian brutalists with like very simple geometric shapes, black and red, and they're very cool. I think they're very cool. And I also made this animation that went along with them. So those were showcased in a gallery with the animation. So, you know, one of the posters was like a guillotine and like a paintbrush in it. And then like in the animation, the guillotine would come down. But like in the animation, so like the posters made it look like the arts were being, you know, dominated by these like STEM fields. But in the animation, it kind of, you know, changes because like the arts are like kind of resilient. So like the paintbrush like doesn't break, it stops the blade from cutting it. And like another piece is like a big, huge, like crude looking wrench dropping and falling on like a violin, but like the violin like squishes and then like pops back up and like the wrench just like falls down. Like kind of fun stuff like that. I'm not like trying to say that like the STEM fields are bad. I'm just saying that in society, like they're held in higher regard than like artists per se. But yeah, recently I've been doing a lot of film work. I'm really happy with that, and actually am considering going to grad school for film and photography. So I shaved my head from my photography assignments. It was a self-portrait like assignment, so but like not like a selfie type thing, so like not take a picture, make it look like I'm taking a picture of myself was the goal. So and I think I accomplished that pretty decently with the equipment that I had given the circumstances. So I like would take like a mechanic's light that you could like magnet to like the bottom of a car or something and like work on stuff, and like put that in like this black room, like in the shower room, and then like just made very dramatic lighting, and I set up the camera so it would like take a picture like 5 seconds later. But it was very difficult because like I didn't know what it was going to focus on, like focus on me or focus on what. Like I couldn't have someone help me. That was like part of the other challenge of the project. So that was really fun to do. And just like doing these projects, you like find out a lot about yourself, and like you often think about like what would be a good shot and what's a good composition, but you also think about like the content of like what's in an image and like what people are going to think about it and stuff like that. Like I often think about how people will look at it and how they'll feel and relate it to themselves almost. So like as a designer and as an artist, I try to kind of present and like bring people back to the human experience. I don't try to like, sometimes I'll try and be illustrative and make fun things, but like really I wanted like make you, you know, feel something. Like I grew up like pretty fast. Like I had a pretty quick childhood just because of like circumstances. So I wanted to get back to like that childish type emotion and like bring it to people. So like sharing that like feeling that we're all, you know, human and we're all like, you know, together type thing. It's also kind of existential too. I don't know. Well, a lot of different themes going on. But recently I made a film about the night that my mother decided to divorce my father. I made a painting about it, and I took pictures of the painting, and I edited the pictures, and like I took probably like 300 pictures of this painting in different, you know, aspects and different, you know, zooms. And I focused on different things, and I kind of animated it. I took it into Photoshop, and I like would layer different things from different parts of the painting, and I'd like would animate it for this film, and it looks pretty crazy. Like things are flying across the screen, and then it flows into like video that I created with my brother and another actors. So it's connecting the painting that I did with like real life imagery. And it was a really fun project to work on.
What is it that made you select that particular event to do for your project?
Well, as an artist, usually you want to make things that like connect to you. Like, they're my experiences and I wanted to share them with people. And that's kind of like what art is sharing of experiences. At least in my mind, other people can have different thoughts. That's up to them. I wanted to create like a moving piece. Like I usually try not to make like comedies and stuff like that for like a more professional scene. I just had the idea. I don't know what to say about that one.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was just going to want about a different project, but we can stick on this one for a moment.
No, go ahead. It wasn't related to this project.
Oh, I guess we can still talk about it for a minute. I don't know. Sorry.
You're fine. I was just going to ask, because you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, then you may have just hit it just now as well, where you're kind of talking about that personal experience and everything and really being able to tie in the emotion and stuff to your work. I was going to ask you earlier where your inspiration usually comes from. Is that where your inspiration comes from? Is you draw upon past personal events and experiences? Or is it a combination of that and some other aspect? I guess where does that all come from and stem from?
Well, purely as an artist and not like a designer making something for someone else, I feel like that is like your greatest weapon, I guess, in creating content is really just looking back at your life and like thinking about the moments that made you feel a certain way and then like embodying that in like an image or a sound piece, given if you make music. I feel like that's what really makes good art is, you know, explaining, you know, your story, I guess, or, you know, I really give in to the idea of, you know, storytelling and thinking of that as a very valuable thing when it comes to making art. I guess one that it wasn't really necessarily drawn from my personal life experiences. I made a film that was in a film festival recently. It was it's called Archive, and I went out one day and I took like 700 pictures of like these very close up things. Holy just God. To get texture, to get textures. And like, it's really cool because they all look like otherworldly and like surreal. Like you wouldn't be able to tell like where these things were, but like guaranteed you've seen these things like every day. And it's very interesting because it like puts you into like kind of perspective, like, it's not just about you, kind of thing, but there's other things going on, and it's like beautiful to recognize what else there is in the world besides, you know, getting up and going to work and coming back and doing, you know, what you do in your free time. Just like as an artist, I find texture and like simple design very important. Because like I feel like not a lot of people touch on that, at least not, you know, early on. A lot of people usually think about color and shapes and stuff like that. Those are very common things to think about when you're like an early artist. But recognizing that, I try to look at the other elements of design, like balance and rhythm and depth and like texture, and try to create pieces using those methods without even thinking about color or or things that, you know, normally people think about when it comes to art. So that's usually what, besides my own like experiences, that's what I'll think about, is like what kind of textures, or like how can I compose this and make it balance. Or, and a lot of the design and art that I make is very simple. But I think simple is very strong, and a lot of people can understand it very quickly. So I don't find the value of ornamentation, at least as an artist as I am right now. I feel like simple design is very, very important.
Casey, what would be an ideal job for you? So I know you talked earlier near the top of the podcast about how, you know, with graphic design, usually you have to work for a large firm or a large company, and maybe that's not what you want to do necessarily. So ideally, what would be the perfect job for Casey?
I mean, right now, I really do enjoy making films, so if I could like somehow get to, you know, work on films, you know, or and stuff like that. And this is probably like a pipe dream. Like everyone's got these like, oh man, I really love to direct a movie. That'd be great. But you know, I mean, you know, why not, you know, go for it and try.
You never know.
Yeah. Like I didn't originally plan on going to grad school when I entered college, but now I really, you know, I'm thinking about it and looking at the benefits of going, and I think it'd be very, you know, beneficial for me to, you know, at least try it. Otherwise, you know, I do kind of like the leader type aspect of a project. So, you know, art directing or creative directing for, you know, projects would be a good career choice, I think, for me. A lot of the times I'll, you know, lead critiques in class and stuff like that. So, you know, I wouldn't mind, at least not at first, I don't think, working at a, you know, design firm. And I think I'd rather prefer working for a design firm than just a, like a regular company that like needs graphics, I guess. Just because design firms get to be, you know, they usually have a lot more leeway in what they make, and you know, they usually have a lot more funding, and usually the stuff that they make is all, you know, pretty great. If depending on how things work out, I would, you know, like to be a creative director or an art director, or you know, who knows, maybe I'll be making movies someday. Maybe being a professor too, if none of that works out.
So basically you don't know.
No, I mean, I have a direction where I want to go. Like my next step in life is going to grad school, I think. So having that direction is what, you know, driving me to create good content and keep a, you know, steady head in what I'm doing. So yeah, just having the passion and, you know, having a goal for what I want to do next. So, and what I want to do next is, you know, I believe grad school. So,
Casey, before we start to wrap up here, Siri is going again. Before we start to wrap up here, is there anything that you didn't share that you wanted me to share on today's podcast, or do you feel like you got it all out there?
I feel like I could keep talking, like, to tell you the truth. I really do enjoy like talking about art and stuff like that. Maybe sometime you'll have me back and we can talk about family problems. That'd be a great one. Everyone's got those though, so maybe they don't want to hear that. I feel like we're good. I, you know, love to talk more about art. I'm sorry if I've offended anyone in their ideals on how art should be made or what. Do what you do. I think every artist has a great, great thing to go off of.
Don't worry about offending people. there's no offending anyone on this podcast. Everyone has their own thoughts and opinions, and that's where we air it all out here on the podcast. Casey, the last question I always ask people, since I know that you haven't listened to a single full podcast, is it, whether it's something that you've shared within the past 30 minutes or so, or maybe it's something you haven't shared, but what is it that you want the listeners of this podcast to take away?
Well, I want the listeners to just go for it, I guess. Going for engineering and trying to get a steady job, I used to think like that's what I wanted in making money and stuff like that. But I've been a lot happier going for broke, I guess. go for your dreams, be an artist, do it. But of course, stay on planet Earth and do your best with it. Always try your best.
Casey, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Trent. I'm glad I could come.
Yeah, of course. Casey, again, you don't know this is coming because you have failed to listen to any of the podcasts.
You didn't tell me I should have listened to any of the podcasts.
Well, you didn't have to, but this will just take you by surprise then. You actually get to do the sign-off for your podcast episode.
Oh, okay.
So take us out.
Over and out.